Welcome to the EFM Morning Brief podcast. Thank you for joining us. It is our first episode of the 2026 European Film Market and Berlinale, and we are thrilled to be back. I'm your host, Wendy Mitchell, and every morning we're going to bring you some short news and insights of what's happening in the market and remind you of some of the highlights of EFM activity each day ahead. So our first guest, we are talking to some amazing trade journalists, and our first guest is Melanie Goodfellow, Senior International Film Correspondent at Deadline. Melanie, like me, has been coming to the Berlinale and the EFM for many years. So Melanie, I know things are just getting started, but what do you think could be some of the key talking points for the industry during EFM 2026?
Well, I think, as always, there's always that kind of the previews that we have about what's happening with sales. I always find these previews a bit funny because you and I have been doing this for like, what, 25 years? And I feel like we're trying to do like oil reports. Like, is it going up? Is it going down? And film sales are such like that. Films are like such prototypes, you know, indie films are. And one big film could like, you know, put somebody on a great track for a year, 2 years. But that said, it does feel like there's some excitement on some levels. It's mixed as usual. I feel like people from on the state side, the indies, the US indies are feeling a bit encouraged after the sale of The Invite. I think it was about like 10 million to A24.
Yeah, at Sundance. Yeah. Exactly.
And also titles like I Want Your Sex, Leviticus. People like felt good about that. But at the same time, you had Josephine, which won the Audience Award and the Grand Jury Prize, which Goodfellas just announced that they've picked up sales for. But as of yet, I don't know if they, I know there were like people circling, but it wasn't like it taken off and sold immediately. So it feels like it's a bit of a mixed market for, on that point. And then I do feel like, you know, for non-English language, it's still very, very complicated. You can see for the box office too, you know, for, you know, we've got these real success stories in the market at the moment, like Sentimental Value, which is just doing gangbusters. I went to see it in London last week and I was like, you know, the Lumiere in Southwest London, it was like half full on a Tuesday. But then when you talk to salespeople, it's still very hard out there for them to get good deals on their movies. So it feels like a very mixed market.
Yeah, you definitely have to have the right package, I think. Speaking of packages, you know, I love these sort of lead up weeks to a big market like Berlin, and we see all these new projects announced. Are there any hot ones that you've seen announced or you've written about that you think are going to catch buyers' eye, maybe especially some non-English language ones? Have we seen some of those?
Well, I'm glad you like the run up to the EFM, but I'm quite frankly, I'm exhausted. But let's looking at like the non-American, the non-English language packages. I mean, the one that I was very happy about that we announced was Fonda, Justin Trier. I'm so happy that we did that one. I've been following her work from the beginning, and it's not foreign language, it's English language, but with great cast, a psychological thriller, Mia Goth in the lead. I thought that was very exciting. There was one yesterday that popped up, which I thought was very interesting. We don't really get so many of those sorts of packages, but it was Gael García Bernal's Hombre al Agua, Man Overboard, which had some really kind of hot Latin talent in it. And I thought that was interesting to see him directing again. And then there was another project, which is like kind of a classic American package out of AGC, but I kind of was intrigued by it. It's Ana de Armas in this Sweat remake, which is just so...
That has a big European connection, though, doesn't it? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just felt, you know, it was...
Magnus von Horn. Yes.
Yes, thank you very much. And so it's kind of intriguing. This film that came out during the pandemic was supposed to play in Cannes, but couldn't because that year Cannes was 2020. Cannes was, do you remember? It was, well, you know too well, cancelled. And then they had that special Cannes label. But I think it was still did okay. I think Mubi picked it up. You know, it's about this fitness influencer and she gets involved with a very obsessive fan. And I'm just intrigued to see how they're going to like remake this film with this kind of, you know, with Ana de Armas. It's going to be interesting. So those are my three kind of packages for you. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but check out Deadline. You know, it's all on there. Sorry for the plug.
Yes, exactly. And I purposefully didn't ask about all the huge American packages because I know other people are going to be talking about those. Now, Melanie, I know you are spending a lot of time either running around the halls of the Gropius Bau or frantically calling people on the phone or sitting at your laptop, and you don't really have much time to see films. But are there any films that you're aware of already getting a lot of buzz? Or if you did have time to see films, what might be one that would be on your list?
Well, as you know, I hardly ever see any films, which is kind of ridiculous. I see them like in the cinema, like lay people afterwards, which I quite enjoy. But I did have the opportunity to watch No Good Men because I was interviewing Charbonneau. And I have to say, I think it's a very inspired opening film. It's about a woman who's trying to forge a career as a camera operator in a very sexist society in the weeks leading up to the withdrawal of the US troops in August 2021. So there's this sort
of... This is in Afghanistan, we should say.
Yeah. Afghanistan. Sorry, in Kabul. Yeah, thank you. And it's a very serious topic, but it's just done in a very human way. And I think, I hope that... I feel like as an opening night film, I think the audiences will fall in love with this film. I think you fall in love with the characters, not just the main characters, but all the people who work at the Kabul News, which is like kind of the setting. And I just think it's a lovely film. And then obviously I've been like kind of in a trailer overdrive. So I see snippets of films. And I know you can't tell, you know, trailer doesn't tell you everything, but I suppose the ones that I've done that have intrigued me is Dust, is this Belgian movie about these like false tech entrepreneurs who pretend that they've created this great software and in fact they haven't, and it's all about how what happens to them when they're uncovered. And that looks quite interesting, and I think that might have a bit of a crossover in terms of sales. I'm really intrigued about Rosebush Pruning, and I hope it holds up. I hope it, like, the trailer looked fantastic and quirky and clever, but I hope it holds up throughout the movie. So I am looking forward to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I watched the teaser for Rosebush Pruning, which is, of course, Karim Aynouz's new film. It's world premiering in Berlin. It's probably the most high profile package that we're seeing actually premiering at the festival. It's got Elle Fanning, Jamie Bell, Colm Turner, Pamela Anderson, no less. And this little teaser or scene really got my attention. The Match Factory is selling. It's a big co-production between Italy, Germany, Spain, and the UK. I also really would love to see Grant G's Everybody Digs Bill Evans, because that's got our friend Anders Danielsson-Lee, who we will remember from Worst Person, I believe, and that's sold by Mr. Smith. But I have to say, I've also had an early look at Shore's film, No Good Man, and I think it's a real crowd-pleasing film, while also keeping its identity. So yeah. I think that's going to go down really, really well.
There was a scene in there where I cried. I thought it was up there in terms of one of the best big screen kisses. So
okay, you know. Yes. So yeah, I think that's an absolute smash of a film for Trisha Tuttle and her programming team to launch the festival with. You know, EFM has some new programs and things this year. Has anything caught your eye?
I think the new focus on animation is interesting. And they're going to have this new section where people are going to be presenting their projects. I think that, you know, there's a lot happening in independent animation. It's still hard economically, but I think there's a lot of creativity there. And we even had some packages that we announced, like 15 Dogs, this big Canadian animation by Copper Heart Entertainment. It's based on a book where dogs are given brains, sort of. And so then, and then what happens in the dog society? Do they stay happy, or do they, you know, get ambition and all, sort of like what happens to them?
Yeah. And I think, you know, European animation, like you said, is booming, and not just European, but independent. Let's see what happens. Thank you, Melanie Goodfellow, for joining us at the EFM Morning Brief podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy.
Whether you're a newcomer to Berlin or have been coming for many, many years like me, you might need a refresher on how to get around and what's where. Check out the map and venue section on the EFM website to see locations. And also you can find the FAQ about how to reach the awareness team, learn about accessibility offerings, and of course, shuttle services. There's also a new EFM app this year, and that's now available for download. As we kick off EFM today, the market is happy to host Morocco as its country of focus this year. This will be an important global showcase for Moroccan creators and the industry there. So do take a special look at some of those Moroccan events, and hopefully you'll make some great connections. Things are just getting started, but we already have a winner. As of yesterday, the EFM Distributor Award this year has been announced as going to Monica Falea and Stefan Bradia of Bad Unicorn Distribution from Romania. This award comes with a cash prize of 7,500 euros, and thanks to the sponsor Vintage House. We all know the EFM is always innovating. There's always something new. This year, one of the exciting new additions is EFM Animation Days. That kicks off today at 3 p.m. with a few projects pitching in the mirror tent. Anyone with a market badge can attend. Go ahead and plan to get up early tomorrow, Friday, at 9 a.m. There is the Spotlight on International Animation at EFM Cinemobile. More pitching with a further 7 titles. Big shout out to MDM and the BFI National Lottery Fund for their belief in this new initiative and supporting EFM Animation Days. As you might remember, the EFM's Innovation and Producers Hub is on the second floor of the Gropius Bau. There are 2 workshops up there today as part of another new initiative, EFM Beyond. This is looking at cross-media storytelling for independent IP. And that is supported by Medienbord Berlin-Brandenburg and co-funded by Creative Europe Media. From 2:30 to 3:30 in the Producers Hub is Hard Truths About Transmedia. That's in collaboration also with MediaNet Berlin-Brandenburg. And from 4 to 5 p.m. is also at the Producers Hub is the New Markets Beyond the Screen session, looking at taking IP into multiple areas. Afterwards, I think you'll have earned a drink. Stick around for the EFM Beyond Innovation Happy Hour. That's at 5 p.m. in the Innovation and Producers Cafe. Another important one to plan for Friday, Winston Baker's Entertainment Finance Forum Berlin returns with a sharp focus on the forces reshaping global entertainment. Evolving finance models, international partnerships, platform strategies, and the creator economy. So join top executives like Yvette Young and Stuart Ford, as well as filmmaker Cornel Mundersko, who has his new film in competition. They'll be speaking there. And you'll really get some insights about entertainment finance. So that is a busy schedule for you. You can find the full lineup online. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll be back with you again tomorrow morning.